This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hey everyone, Brandon here. Before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and you just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personalized cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of all that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But again, that's bwhustle.com/join.
Hey, all cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I'm trying to not be confused. I feel like this FPL season is getting more confusing by the day. Do we need to talk about the greatest troll job in the history, modern history anyway, of Fantasy Premier League? So we've been waiting for a bunch of double game weeks to be rescheduled and whatnot and announced. And what happened, Josh?
Yeah, well, this to me is a direct result of fantasy managers going too far and annoying the heck out of all of these. Just here's the story, right? We were all waiting for the double game week fixtures to be announced. Everybody was waiting. We thought it might be Wednesday. We thought it would be Thursday. And then, of course, you get these like dumb fake leaks where it's like it's leaking at, 4 p.m. Greenwich time on Thursday. That's when it's going to happen. And then, you know, 4 p.m. rolls by. They're like, no, I meant 8 p.m. And it just sort of goes on from there. And so everyone's like, when is this going to happen? I can't believe this is going to happen. You know, we have these Ben Krellin, expected charts that have been put together. And we think those are going to be real, but you don't know. We didn't know for a fact. And so it's sort of, a lot of people, myself included, were not inclined to wildcard, right? Because the whole reason this is kind of important was, for a lot of people who are holding on to a second half wild card, you can't use a wild card and a bench boost or a triple captain or whatever. You can't use one of those chips in the same week that you wild card. So if you wanted to set your team up perfectly for this double game week that's happening next week that we're going to talk about on today's pod, you had to set yourself up kind of perfectly with this wild card. But you were kind of doing this leap of faith because you didn't know if the fixtures were actually going to come through the way we thought they would. Yeah. So everyone is at replying the Premier League, probably annoying the hell out of them. I'm sure of it.
The one admin who's working this account is just like, at replies are absolutely finished, like the end of a Mortal Kombat fight.
Right. So the deadline for this game week was 6:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, right? Greenwich or whatever, GMT. And 1:30 here in the U.S. So I'm in the middle of a meeting when this happened. Because it was an 8 o'clock get match on Friday. So at the exact minute that the deadline hit and you were no longer able to make any changes to your team, they released the full schedule. Graphics were ready to go. This thing was written, approved by the press agents. They were holding off, I'm sure of it, until the deadline took place. And Brandon, you may say to yourself, why would they, who cares? You know, it's like, there's just there's just a bunch of Premier League managers out there. This is not, like in the grand scheme of things, like,
this is not a priority for the Premier League Corporation.
This is not a priority for the Premier League Corporation.
Yeah, hundred thousand FPL nerds on social media, right?
And yet, who cared more than us about the answer, right? Do you know who didn't care about when the double gimmicks were announced? Everyone else.
Right.
Literally everyone else.
Well, are we veering into QAnon territory here where we're convincing ourselves that, wait, we're the ones that matter and that we should be the ones catered to?
Listen, Brennan, there are no coincidences in life, okay? Uh-huh. Is that Freud? I don't know. I think Frasier referenced Freud in one episode of Frasier. Mm-hmm. I think that it's possible that they waited until the exact minute that it was too late and it was a complete coincidence. Because as we all know, you always break big breaking news at 6:30 p.m. in your time zone.
Right, that's right. Really, it was a bit of a news dump. Yeah, I think I definitely, it was obviously intentional given the timing of it.
Yeah.
The thing that I've been racking my brain with is, was this an adept marketing maneuver? Because suddenly now this becomes a story that people will talk about, this incredibly timed news dump that impacted these fantasy managers. So something that usually is just a boring push notification that casuals get on their iPhone now becomes something that we're using to amplify the FPL game. Now, it does seem like, as you say, an odd perspective for marketing to just piss everyone off who is involved here. So you think they'd want to like work together with those voices to make it a positive thing?
Yeah. And for me personally, I didn't even that had been released like a day or two before. I feel like I would have been going back to it multiple times to double check everything. Uh-huh. As it was, I like took a fleeting glance at it. Right. And I was like, okay, this is basically what Ben predicted, more or less. Right. Now I'm done. Like, thanks for nothing. Right.
So for those who do not give a crap about what's going on in the Premier League press office and the FPL Twitter feed, what Josh and I are talking about is the fact that Game Week 26, which kicks off this coming weekend, is going to be one of the biggest double game weeks in the history of FPL. It is a massive, massive turning point in this crazy season. So we have a lot to get through in this episode, just to figure out, what do we do? Do we need a wild card now? If you did pull that trigger on the wild card in 25, what are the odds for your triple captain and your bench boost chips in 26? Yep. So Josh, you've put together a classic game that we like to play on the Always Cheating Pod. Mm-hmm. Always Cheating presents FPL True or False.
Yep, I'm excited. True or False, it's a fun way to break things down a little bit. Otherwise, you can just get really caught up in we got a ton of questions this week, unsurprisingly, from our Patreon supporters and then on Twitter as well. And so I'm actually not going to read off anyone's individual question here. I just sort of combined all of the questions and put them into a few different questions, basically true or false questions that we can answer in this pod. Hopefully, Brandon, that will make it for a clean listen, and a little bit of clarity, and will perhaps help you me and the listeners actually figure out what to do this game week. So, I don't have much of a running order besides that true or false thing, because I think we want to get right into it. But before we jump right into game week 26, though, Brandon, there was a question here from Nevertheless He Assisted. And he says, does the early double game week with all the triple captain and bench boost shenanigans give us that end of season vibe way too soon? I feel like every decision right now has a last throw of the dice vibe, yep. And it really shouldn't.
Yeah, this is what's vexing me about 26 too, because yeah. I'm in a position, we can talk about our own teams as we go through the pod, but just yeah. quickly where I am right now, I'm not planning to wild card for 26. I played my bench boost during that earlier double game week that Nevertheless He Assisted was referring to, and I just kind of am in shock at how monumental game week 26 has suddenly become. I totally agree. Yeah. There is this Ragnarok feeling that is suddenly storming FPL. Yeah. And I think what I'm going to try to embrace as we discuss these game week 26 issues is this feeling of it's not as overwhelming as it may seem. And you probably have to take less action, less evasive action than you think you do right now. Everything with your team is probably way better than you think it is right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's up for debate, actually, because I do want to talk to you about point hits on this week's pod, Brandon. And mm-hmm. I was a little I am typically a point hit shy manager. And if anything, I've grown more so this season because I don't think a point hit has gone off well for me once. I think literally every single time I've point hit, like yeah. maybe five or six times, my team has been worse for the hit. Now, granted, you can't always look at these in a vacuum. You're doing them for 2 weeks, but if you could do them over 2 weeks, Brandon, then you could do them without using a hit. Okay. So that's part of the reason why it doesn't always work out. So I don't want to get too caught up in the nitty gritty yet. As you said, I mean, practically everybody bar six teams. So 14 squads, Brandon, play twice in game week 26. I think it starts early Saturday and goes until Thursday evening, and there are matches every single day during this stretch.
It's like Lollapalooza yeah. this game week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna like take some time off of work, you know, like go on and take a sabbatical or something. But yeah,
there are so many double game weeks that, like I'm saying, if you look at your current team right now, you probably already have at least eight, yeah. nine, ten well, double game weekers. So yep. the points totals are going to be off the charts.
That's one of the reasons why I'm not wildcarding either, because I'm at 11 right now. I still have a bench boost chip. I'm planning to use it in game week 26.
Yeah.
And I have 11 players right now. So I could take a hit to get to 12. I mean, if I take a hit, I can get to 13. I think that's probably as much as I would want to do, because I want to hold Bamford and Dallas for 29. So the other thing, I didn't put this into the true or false section. So just one thing to note is that you have to be a little careful about how you build your team in game week 26, because just a couple weeks after that, we have this FA Cup weekend meets Premier League postponement. Basically, a lot of the matches that can't get played in game week 29 are being played in 26. Yeah. So usually what happens is they're making up matches. What they're doing right now is they're actually playing matches that yeah. would have had, because the schedule is so compressed this season. Yeah. There's really no other time to do it but right now.
What happened here is last season in the Premier League's annual performance review, the boss said, listen, I couldn't help but notice your work's great, but you're late with a lot of projects. So could we be more proactive next season?
Yeah.
So the Premier League is trying to be proactive and make up matches even before they should have happened.
Yeah, it's very what's that minority report, right? It's
got yeah, like precognition sort of thing.
Precog situation. There's just, maybe that's why it took until 1:30. There's just this guy with like a bunch of screens in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. Some thought crimes were being policed. We know that for sure. Should we check in right now? So nobody really 20 game week to. Game week 25 is certainly going to be forgotten, but think it's worth remarking upon how absolutely strange game week 25 has been.
Yeah,
at the start of like Sunday morning, most people are looking at their squads and they've got, you know, 25 points or thereabouts with with the distinct possibility that that's all they get. There were no big breakthrough performances, not many goals scored for big FPL assets, and everyone was more or less on, you know, not a green arrow, not a red arrow, but a gray dot.
It's like now, 50 across the board, right? Everyone's like between 49 and 51, it seems like.
The City Arsenal game happens and clean sheets were raked in. You got a Sterling goal. Well done. Well done, Josh. But it still ended up being kind of like a break even match. So everyone's points totals got boosted, but it still becomes a break even game week. Then what happens? Bruno Fernandes gets a goal and an assist and max bonus against Newcastle. And it's hilarious because pretty much every fantasy manager has Bruno. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Let's more than half. Sure. 60.2% of all people in FPL have him.
And when you think about like 25-30% of the leagues are dead teams, right? Who just wouldn't have had him because he didn't get hot until a little bit into the season.
Right. Yeah. I was looking at FPLGameWeek.com while this match was happening. And what they do on that site is they'll tell you a player you have, what percentage of their points are you actually getting? Mm-hmm. And what that means is like an effective ownership thing. Like so many people have this player, therefore if this player scores points, effectively you're going to get this percentage of their points to help your team. I was getting 4% of Bruno's total points according to FPL Game Week. Wow. So every time
it was actually costing me.
Even though I was getting those measly 4%, every time he did something, my rank would go down. And now what we have, I want to ask you this question, Josh. So neither of us, both of us captained Bamford. So Bruno's points totals were hurting even though we have him.
Yeah.
Would you rather be in a situation right now before Southampton Leeds where you had captained Bruno and not captained Bamford, and then looking toward that Southampton Leeds match, kind of wanting it to be a little quiet? Or are you happy to be in the position where you are now, where you have captained Bamford and what Bamford does is all upside for you?
Oh, no, I would much rather have captained Bruno. I mean, Bamford could get a goal and all three bonus points on Tuesday, and it would still be fewer points combined over two matches than Bruno got. I mean, no, I would absolutely take Bruno's 12 at this point. I mean, because if you ask me, would I take 8 points from Bamford on Tuesday, I would – you know, I would
take it and run.
Yeah, exactly. I would take it and run. So yeah, 10 points from Bamford just to match Bruno. I would need 11. Yeah. So you're talking about, you need at least a brace to beat Bruno, or a goal and a goal assist and bonus points.
Yeah. I think a brace is eminently possible for Bamford. Sure. I mean, and just to be fair, I mean, Bamford is like close to 58% owned. So the ownership is roughly even too, which is really wild. But for me, I'm kind of the opposite. It's more of an emotional play for me. I'm actually excited now for Southampton Leeds, just to the hope springs eternal sort of side of it. So I'm feeling okay. I'm on 49 points right now, and I'm like up a little bit, just a small green arrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I am right now too. I'm at 22,500. So I'm up like 2,500. I think when you include auto subs, because Jack Grealish is out, I think it knocks me back a little bit. So, but I'm still up like 1,000. You know, it's like it's like 1,000, and I've got three leads to go. I have to sweat Danny Ings on, and that, you know, I mean, we'll see how he does on Tuesday. I mean, I feel like I maybe dodged a bullet there, because I was considering burning points to bring him in, and now that DCL is on. Right. For, you know, it feels like I probably got away with one there. I don't have to bring a transfer to bring in DCL.
You may have. I'm rooting for Ings to do something, obviously, because I have him, and it would be great if he did something. But just based on the 30 minutes from DCL and Everton while he was on the pitch, it's Ings to DCL sneak.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
peak at my thoughts for my game week 26 team. So Ings is a short-lived cameo in most FPL teams for Danny Ings.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the move. I mean, I guess the other move would be Harry Kane, and so we'll talk about him too. All right, so just so we don't have to do a second break, a quick thank you to our newest Patreon supporters. We have a new Volkswagen supporter. That's our T-shirt tier, Brandon, and that's thank you to Chris. Mm-hmm. We have two new Lord Soloth patrons, Emily Preton and TPRPLR.
Welcome back.
Yeah, and then two additional patrons. We have Jonathan Cohen and Kevin Troutwine.
So, Love it. Welcome.
Good name.
Welcome. And if you want to know more about what's going on with the Always Cheating Patreon, go to patreon.com/always cheating. Listen, it's just a way that you can say thank you to me and Josh for what we do free on this podcast every week. And what do you get in return for being a Patreon? Well, you get more FPL content. We give you an extra podcast ad-free each week, our Week in Review newsletter from Mini League Mate. And as you mentioned, Josh, Chris is getting that Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt at the Volkswagen tier. So go to patreon.com/always cheating to check out what's on offer.
All right, let's get back and do a true and false for Game Week 26.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating.
All right, Brad, we're back. Game Week 26 kicks off next Saturday. So we got plenty of time. And just, you know, a quick reminder, the Champions League matches are played at midweek. Mm-hmm. So I think especially when it comes to Manchester City, there's a lot of, I don't want to say worry, but just a lot of, I think we have to keep our eyes on who plays in that match. I'm really hoping I have Sterling, Cancelo, and Gundogan. So I don't want any of those three to play in that match, if at all possible.
Right. Yeah. City play on Wednesday and Chelsea play on Tuesday. Now, I don't know that Chelsea really enters into our notes here, but that's it. It's all about what the rotation is for that Man City midfield.
So that brings me to the opening question, Brandon, the opening true or false question here. Okay. Mm-hmm. True or false, Brandon, you can safely avoid 50%, a full half, of the teams who have double game weeks. True or false?
I think that's true. So let's look at some of these. We just mentioned Chelsea, who play Atletico Madrid in the Champions League on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they do have a double in game week 26, but it's Manchester United and Liverpool. That's very, very tough goings for Chelsea. Yeah. Now, Chelsea looking a little more organized under Tuchel, but Tuchel's comments after the match, he kind of threw Callum Hudson-Odoi under the bus. Like, it's kind of it's a Sherman's march that Tuchel is doing in West London right now. He's just like burning everything around him. And I still can't make heads or tails of what's going on there. I think it's maybe weirdly, Rudiger is the only one in that. Oh, Werner is slowly getting unlocked. But the point is, to answer this true or false question, I do think it's true, because Chelsea, I think, is safe to avoid. Crystal Palace, then you get yeah. bad teams. Crystal Palace, just why would you ever, even if they had a triple game week?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see, Sheffield United, bad. They're bad. They have Liverpool and Aston Villa. West Brom, also bad, yeah, and they have yeah. a double game week. Wolves, yeah. not so great. So there I've already kind of named half of the teams who are doubling that
yeah.
we can just move off of the table.
Right, and the reason I say this is because I think that when you look at all of these various players, you know, scattered throughout, you know, there's I feel a bit of panic almost, you know, like, oh my God, I have to like really think through every single one of these teams, right? And look yeah. for, you know, low ownership players, like players with big upside, try to find, you know, teams that I can target. And I think that you can simplify that process a little bit by just focusing on, like you said, about half the teams. And I think that, well, you know, Villa suddenly become a team that are probably best avoided. I think that they have what would be one of the better doubles, but and Brandon, I wasn't planning to do this, but I'm gonna do two true or falses just to kick things off here.
Okay, wow, a combo deal. Yeah, nice, two for one.
Yeah, I know. And this one maybe is a leading question, but true or false, Aston Villa's assets aren't worth holding anymore with Grealish and Matty Cash injured.
Well, they didn't inspire this weekend against Leicester, and they looked they clearly miss. Obviously, we all knew that they would look different without Jack Grealish, without that engine, and it sort of
right.
he does so many things. And the thing that, you know, most people knock Grealish for is constantly taking fouls. And what you see when Grealish is not on the pitch for Villa is the play never stops. Villa never get a chance to reset from all those fouls that he takes. So the only issue with jettisoning, so Villa are not going to look good, but the only issue with jettisoning, let me see if I can get that out there, players now is they are one of the few teams that play in game week 29. So you hinted at this at the start of the pod, right? There is this awkward game week 29 where, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, just eight teams will right. play. Villa are one of them. So if you're like you and I, Josh, and you're not planning to wild card now, maybe you want to hold your wild card until after that big game week 29 with all the blanks. Those Villa players suddenly are valuable for you unless you yeah. plan on transferring them back in.
It's a funny construction, though. And I mean, I think you're right, but it's funny because the construction is basically, no, they're not worth holding for game week 26, but yes, they are worth holding for game week 29, basically for appearance points.
Right? Well, but I'm a little more confident than you. Yeah, sure. Villa are weakened without Grealish, but Leeds and Sheffield United, these are fine. Right. They don't have to be knockout glamorous fixtures. These are fine fixtures for clean sheets and attacking points. So you have Emi Martinez, you have Matt Target. Sheffield United is a sure shot at a clean sheet. Leeds leak goals for fun. So even if you have Watkins now, you have to be thinking about playing him. And then Wolves in game week 27, like the fixtures are lining up for them fine. But the thing that we've kept saying about Villa all season is that the value is there. These players are cheap enough that I'm willing to work around them.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, Watkins, I wouldn't bring in Watkins if I didn't have him already. I'm not planning to drop him either, but he is barely getting a touch. And this is two matches in a row now, too, because the Brighton match was the same way. In some ways, Grealish, I mean, Grealish is obviously the sort of talismanic figure for Aston Villa, but he is also kind of like their midfield is where you can actually replace people fairly easily. I wonder if the Matty Cash thing is actually really part of the problem, too. You know, he was such an incredible outlet out there on the right, and you know, without him sending balls in.
Now they're just flooding the left side where Target is, and it's a little more predictable as far as the Villa attack is concerned. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so I think obviously, you know, Emi Martinez is kind of a stone cold lock. Nothing changes there. Didn't have a great game, you know, but he was so good last week that we're gonna give him a pass, Brandon. kind of like
listen, he's in the form of his life, Joshua. Yeah, you know, exactly. Everyone take a drink.
Yeah. So, I would say the answer is false, that you do want to hold your Villa assets. And I agree with you that game week 29 fixture and hopefully Grealish, you know, I've heard different reports on Grealish. I've heard they hope for him back by Leeds. I've also heard he's out for a month. So it sounds like the answer is we don't know. You know, he's got a horrifying shin injury, Brandon. That's all we know.
Yeah, I think it's a stress. I think I heard it was a stress fracture. So
okay. That's longer than right. That's a month or so.
No idea. I mean, this is their whole team right here, Jack Grealish. So they probably don't want people to have any information.
Yeah. All right. True or false, Brandon? We're going right for one of the big questions right now. Okay. Yeah, this is the one a lot of people have asked about. True or false, Brandon? Harry Kane is the best captain / or stroke, as they say in the UK, triple captain option in game week 26. Is Harry Kane the best captain? And Brandon, is that what you're doing? I'll wait to ask you the personal question, but just true or false, Harry Kane's the best captain for game week 26.
The clear answer here, Josh, is false. And here's where you got tripped up, my friend, is you used the word best. The crazy thing about game week 26.
That's like the ABCD where it's like you want to avoid the always and never question.
Yeah. The answer is just the B and D, actually, when you look at it. But the answer to this is no, Kane is not the best because there are multiple best options. Bruno is just
grammatically possible.
It is now. Yeah. I've made it so. Bruno is just on fire right now. I mean, I don't know if he was never not on fire. I wasn't there at the moment of his birth, but Chelsea, a bit of a stingy defense at the moment, but then Palace. So you'd think you'd still have to back Bruno for returns in game week 26. And as you were saying, you know, people who had the guts to captain Bruno in a single game week while we were all going for Bamford on the double in 25. Yeah. They're getting rewarded. So
yeah.
Bruno, yes, it's got to be in the argument with Kane. And then can I get your thoughts on Mo Salah for the captaincy? Now, Liverpool are reaching new lows after that Merseyside derby loss and just must be morally destructed. But this is an enticing double for them. They also play Chelsea, but they have Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think the answer is also false. I am not as enamored, and I said this on last week's pod as well, and I said it on our Patreon pod a couple days ago too. Harry Kane looked great today. He really did. He looked fantastic. He was very unlucky not to get any kind of attack in returns. Got very, very close a couple of different times. Almost played Sun in late in the match. He's Harry Kane. He's a great player. I feel like there's an interesting narrative that's taking place this year where it's like we're all finally acknowledging what a great player. I mean, obviously we all knew Harry Kane was great, but it's like the way everyone talks about him now is so different. It's like it's something about him getting all the assists this year. I feel like now the narrative is like this guy does everything. It's kind of like
shown some versatility.
Yeah, it's a little like the Firmino thing where like when Firmino first joined Liverpool, he was just a interesting forward, and then suddenly it was like Firmino is he's what you want in a modern forward, you know. Yeah, it's like he can do everything. He has a great presser. And so I think that, you know, Kane is great. Kane is a perfectly okay. If I had Harry Kane on my team, I would very seriously consider captaining him. Yeah. And so to me, in some ways, the question is whether it is worth like burning points to bring in Kane or whether, you know, because I really am kind of with you that I think that maybe Bruno is just in such great form. Man United won 4-0 in their Europa League match. So I strongly suspect in the opening, they played at Real Sociedad. So I strongly suspect he will not play in that match, right? If they're up 4-0, maybe he was on the bench or something like that, but I don't know why you'd play him for 90 minutes. And so I expect him to play, you know, something like the full 180 in these two matches. And as you said, the Palace match is a very good match for him. And Chelsea, I mean, they are strong defensively, but this guy, he's like scoring off like the back of his, you know, he'll like loop it over his head, the back of his foot. You know, I'm actually amazed I'm amazed he hasn't scored like a scissor kick goal or like a scorpion kick goal or like just something that's like totally, you know, maybe invent a new way to kick the ball in for a goal.
My further thought on Kane though is you're talking about burning points. I want to know, who are you getting rid of? So if you're out there and you don't have Kane, and you're thinking the conversation is, you're going to encounter this conversation of like, oh, get Harry Kane in because you got to captain him. Big captain shout, double game week in great form. And then you're going to miss the part of the conversation where you talk about who you're getting rid of.
Yeah.
So I think the only real way that one could sensibly get to Kane is if you have Jack Grealish and somehow you can downgrade him to, I don't know, if somehow Grealish to somebody like Lookman allowed you to get one of your forwards up to Kane.
Well, that would do it, right? Sense. If you had Ings, right? Grealish to Lookman, Ings to Kane, that would work.
So that would work. But if you don't have that, what are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of Mo Salah? Would you care? Just give me a quick fire, Josh. Would you drop Mo Salah in order to get Kane in up front?
No, I wouldn't. I don't really get the Mo Salah thing. Like people just, everyone is so eager to drop him all the time. And, you know, he's the second overall points getter right now in the Premier League. He, you know, has 4 goals in his last 5 matches. I mean, Liverpool don't look good, but he's still knocking in the points. You know, it's not pretty, but I mean, he's got 17 goals in the season, right?
I'm with you. He'll be fine. Keep him.
Yeah.
The other option is Heung-min Son. So do you drop Son? It feels very sideways. I agree. I don't like it either. Would I prefer to have of the lot going in to 26? I would rather have Kane than Son. However, I have Son. It doesn't feel right for me to drop him just to get Kane in.
And the other question is, do we think that Harry Kane is that much superior in the double game week over Dominic Calvert-Lewin, right? Because Dominic Calvert-Lewin can be gotten a lot more easily, right? He's like 4 million cheaper than Kane, and he has the better fixtures, right? They play in lots of rest too. For whatever reason, they have like this massive gap in between. They don't start playing until the Monday, March 1st. And then they play. So they play Southampton at home. Southampton's defense is terrible.
Yeah.
And then they play they play West Brom on Thursday, right? Yeah. And I mean, I don't have the. I'm not. You know, I wouldn't actually captain Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But I think if you were just like 859,000th overall, and you were like, this is my last throw the dice. Again, like we talked about this at the very start of the pod, like I don't think we're in like this game week, Brandon, ends the middle third of the Premier League season, right? There is still a full, what is it, 12 weeks to go after this? Mm-hmm. 12 weeks. Think about like.
And this game week, is also going to cut off a lot of managers. Like there have been managers who have been patient with this season and this game. There's going to be a huge chunk of managers who have a terrible game week by comparison, and they're going to chuck it in. So I think after game week 26, suddenly the pool of active teams shrinks probably by 25%.
I bet we could chart it by our weekly listenership where it goes.
Right. Yeah. It's a massive game week, but so I think in a way you're getting at a larger point, Josh, where your transfer this week can kind of come down to who is it that you want to captain. And if you're interested in captaining Bruno and not Kane, then I don't think you need to be looking at getting Harry Kane in. If you're interested in captaining Harry Kane and not Dominic Calvert-Lewin, then you know, maybe that's a fun route for you to try and tinker to get Kane in and captain him.
Do you think there's any, you know, is there a player that you would captain that you wouldn't okay, I mean, I guess the triple captain is a chip. I still hate the word chip, Brandon. After all these many years.
Okay, do we need to talk about this in depth?
True or false, Brandon? Chip is a dumb way to describe. I always feels a little too.
Yeah. Like, what about something like
game to me? I don't know.
Yeah, token. Would you prefer something like token or card? Let's try and come up with a better word here, Josh.
It's like a. Deus ex machina. I wouldn't mind that. I'm just not a fan. I think they're gimmicky. But anyway, the point is, if you have a triple captain, is this the best way to do it? I think it probably is. I think you could build a case for any number of options this week. I mean, Mo Salah in some ways is, I just, can you really imagine Mo Salah not scoring in one of these two matches? Like, he does not go very often without scoring. I know he had this like little run in January of poor form, but in general, Mo Salah is the kind of player who's going to score like once or twice. He's going to get penned. He's, you know, find some way.
I don't want to be too contradictory, but I think when you're thinking about the triple captain, it matters more about the player's form. So two likely triple captain options this week could be considered Mo Salah and Harry Kane, neither of which are like their teams aren't in great form. Spurs struggling a bit. Liverpool definitely struggling. The hope would be when you play the triple captain, yeah, you want the double game week because that increases just the odds percentage that you get a return and more bang for that triple captain favor. I'm going to call it a favor now. But you also want that form to further increase your odds. So I'm not really feeling the triple captain in game week 26 because some of these great options aren't in especially good form. So maybe it is, if you play the triple captain favor, it's Bruno Fernandes in game week 26 because he has the form and he has at least one good fixture in the double.
I think that's right. I actually think that Bruno Fernandes is the... I think, you know, you and I were talking offline before the pod about whether, you know, there wasn't a lot of consensus yet about like the best captain option. And I do wonder if Bruno is going to emerge as the, much like Patrick Bamford this week, where it was like, oh yeah, there's lots of debate between Bamford and Rafinha and Ings. And then everybody went Bamford. And, you know, in my little like tier, his effective ownership. And as a reminder, if you own a player, you have 100% of that player. If you captain that player, you have 200% of that player, right? Because you get their number doubled. So his effective ownership was like 170%, right? So 85% of the managers in the top 25K or whatever, 85% of them went Bamford. Such a massive number, especially when you have Bruno at home and Rafinha was probably, I mean, oh my God, like Rafinha has to have like one of the best games anyone's ever had without getting an attacking return.
He looked incredible. He looked incredible.
He finished on like 40 points. It was like a crazy, crazy high number.
BPS you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. He's a really awesome player. And actually, he was so good, it actually changes my thinking a little bit about Game Week 26, where I'm like, can I drop this guy? Like, am I going to like drop him for a hit, you know, for Ademola Lookman when he's this good? Like, why couldn't he score against Aston Villa?
That's going to be it. Because we're all going to hang on to these Leeds players because of, do we have a true or false about Leeds? I think we, just to quickly address the fact that they don't have a double, but most of us are tripled up on Leeds. I don't know. You could always drop Rafinha and get him back for game week 29, but that doesn't quite feel right.
He's easier to get back. I mean, in some ways, I wish Bamford was an easy player to drop, but most of us bought him so cheap that it's you don't really want to do it now because, you know, I think he's – my sell-on price for him would be 6.5, and his price in the game right now is 6.9. So I'd basically be costing myself like almost $500,000, right, to bring it back in, and that's just very valuable, right? If this were game week 36 or something, sure, like I can shed that, but like this early on in the season, like that could be the difference between, I don't know, getting like a whatever, like a $4.6 million defender and a $5 million.
Player like Rashford is, I think, a good one. Like you could be able to somehow. You give up the option to get in a player like Rashford at the last match week of the season if you shed that kind of team value at this point of the season.
Just a little risky. And I think just one last thing on Kane, Brandon, which is that Kane looked really good. I mean, the problem for Kane is that the rest of his team doesn't, right? Son looks exhausted. He's played a billion minutes.
Yes,
he never looks bad. And maybe Son actually ends up being the best. It wouldn't shock me if he was the highest points getter in game week 26. You know, it would annoy me, but it would not shock me if that happened. Because he's they're you know, any team that can counterattack well, right, is going to be a threat against anybody because you're just gonna, it just doesn't take much, right, to score in the, like Liverpool right now are a team that can only play one way, right, and so this is why they keep getting held scoreless in these matches at home. So So I just worry that, like, even if Kane is playing well, he's just not going to get as many assist opportunities, you know. Yeah, exactly. Or nor is he going to get fed the ball as well. And yeah, their lack of a real creative midfielder, I feel like, is really starting to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Højbjerg, I feel like his form has dipped in the last month, which and he I don't know if it's fatigue or it just turns out he's Højbjerg, but
it feels like he's like Oreo Romero, where you're like, he gets a yellow card in every single match I watch. Like, I feel like I've never seen a Spurs match. And I'm sure this, it just feels this way, but it feels like he's only on seven yellows. He's on six yellows in the season. It feels like much more than six.
It's an illusion. Brandon. It's an illusion. All right, hit me with another true or false, Josh.
All right, next true or false is true or false. Brandon and Josh, that's me and you, have underrated Leicester's midfield the entire season.
I'll catch you on another technicality here, Josh. This is false because we've only underrated Leicester's midfield during the second half of the season.
Okay.
Because they weren't all that great the first half of the season. But yeah, it's true. Harvey Barnes and James Maddison are bossing it.
Yeah.
The last couple of months at this point.
It's crazy. I had not looked at Harvey Barnes's numbers going back to game week 15. 7, 8, 2, 9, 6, 6, 8, 3, 3, 12, 13.
Yeah.
That is extraordinary. Well, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's six goals, 4 assists, and like 10 bonus points across, you know, basically like since January. It's incredible.
Yeah, so Harvey Barnes, I think, has to be top of the watch list for Grealish replacements if you've just come to that point in your squad ahead of game week 26 where you need to get rid of Grealish. Grealish to Harvey Barnes is a great option. You look at Leicester's fixtures for the double, it's Arsenal and Burnley. Fine. They can easily score goals. I mean, we've kind of had our brief dalliance with the Burnley defense because of their double game week last game week. And they played West Brom in 25, but it's over. It's done. Goodbye, Burnley. It's been fun.
I don't know. Like, are you going to drop Ben Mee? I could probably bench him, or what do you?
I'm benching Ben Mee only because James Justin is at the same sell-on price for me right now, and he's dead this season, so he can go.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, Ben Mee would be out for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I don't know what to say. It's, you know, we kind of thought, I mean, the problem with Harvey Barnes is that going into this season, he was the kind of player who would not always start. I think that's really the biggest thing, is that you just didn't know if he was a starter on that team. I mean, you look back at the beginning of the season and there was a run, you know, basically, let's see, game weeks 8, 10, 11, 12. I suppose really he's like starting in January, he's become a regular starter, but it's that like kind of long time fantasy manager thing where you have to like kind of get over your bias. Yeah, exactly. And so I have this bias that he is a kind of streaky player. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't like to buy streaky players in general. It's like the Ross Barkley types, right? Like, don't give me that player who's good for a month at a time. It's just too risky.
I think he's more important than ever for Leicester with James Justin going out, because injured Justin just offered so much on the left flank for them, and Barnes does that Rashford thing where he does drift left himself.
Yeah.
So without that Justin presence out there, they really do need Barnes running one-on-one at these defenders. And I think he's such a crucial part of that team right now.
It's too bad that Pereira is it has like a kind of price based on, like, he is like, nobody owns this guy, right?
Cost prohibitive.
Yeah, cost prohibitive, but I thought he looked pretty good. He had a couple moments today, and he's already had 2 clean sheets in the last 4 matches. Arsenal at home, Burnley away. I mean, you really could make an argument for bringing in a Burnley defender.
A Leicester defender, you mean?
A Leicester defender. Yeah, I mean, they're all a little pricey. You know, Castagna... Yeah. It looked like he was going to be the guy, right? 1 goal and 3 assists in his first 3 matches. And not granted he got injured for a long, long time, but
Okay, so we kind of covered the Leicester midfield, and maybe we've slept on them the last month or so. But here is Jamie Vardy. So I don't know where there is space in the FPL conversation right now for Jamie Vardy, because Harry Kane is a prospect because we have such great cheap options in players like Bamford and DCL. And yet, there will be the Vardy Brigade going into Game Wing 26. I can't see it. I think if there's a route into the Leicester attack, it is Harvey Barnes. But Vardy, yes, no, true, false.
Yeah, Vardy, no. Yeah, especially because I doubt you would have Vardy and Kane. It feels like that would be a pretty imbalanced team. And if you're picking between Kane and Vardy, I just think you go Kane. Yeah. I'm just for value. I think that Barnes is. I mean, I hadn't actually thought about the Justin thing, and I thought that was a good. There was a moment of actual cogent analysis that I had not considered.
We tried, Josh.
Yeah, and I think that really does make sense that Barnes would be really especially needed now to fill a creative, you know, role in that team. Vardy, he looks, you know, had an assist today, had a couple, but I actually thought he was a little anonymous today, to be honest.
I agree with you. I think he's kind of coasting on his corner flag antics. Yeah. Beyond that, he looks kind of shy on the ball, and he's weather beaten, Josh.
Who were you thinking about moving, James Justin to then? You said it's a planned transfer for you.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Everton have great fixtures, and form appears to have returned to that team. They're going to be flying freaking high after that result at Anfield. So Lucas Dean in for Justin is the perfect match for me for 26.
Nope, I think that makes sense. And then you're going to go Ings to Calvert-Lewin?
That's right, yeah.
Do you have two free transfers, or is that for a minus four?
I do have two free transfers. So I think we have a points hit, true or false, coming up. So we can talk about that a little more then. But two frees. That's how I'm spending them.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. And I think, I have them both in my team already. I was kind of kicking myself a little bit for not going Loudon and bringing in Dean instead for 24. When it would have, you know, I think Loudon ended up not scoring about like 12 points or something. But now I love that I have Dean, you know, like long term it worked out very well, because having him for this double game week is very appealing, especially for that West Brom match. I think that he could really do some good things in that match. I hope so anyway. And I hope that, you know, Calvert-Lewin looked good when he came in the pitch. I think there's every reason to think that he'll start both of those matches. James Rodriguez, it's too bad that he
jeez, he's made of like his bones are made of sugar, apparently.
I know, it's such a bummer. All right, so let's move on to the next question. Fulham. And only Fulham. This is kind of ties in with the first question about the teams you can avoid. True or false, Brandon? Fulham and only Fulham are the place to look for cheap enablers.
I think that this is true, and let me tell you why. I think Fulham are in this interesting. You're talking about bias, Josh, and Fulham are in this position where they're 18th in the table. It's not a great spot for any team to be. Relegation teams often are crap for FPL because they lure you in with these cheap price tags. And what you fail to recognize is you don't know what you're getting week to week. Todd Cantwell, boom, a goal here. And then you're like, do I start him? Do I not start him? He doesn't do anything for 6 weeks.
Yep.
The beauty of Fulham is even though they're in 18th position, Scott Parker has them in a situation where you know exactly what to expect from Fulham week to week.
Yep.
And a tight defense is one of those things. So if you need a cheap defender to fill in for these doubles, let's see, Fulham's doubles this week are, remind me, Josh.
It's a Palace away and Spurs at home.
Yeah. So I the tricky thing is that Parker is rotating his fullbacks a little bit. Like, is Tete going to start? Is Jedi guy going to start or what? So that's a little tricky. That's for people who know Twitter handles out there. But then you were telling me, Josh, that you're considering Ademola Lookman. And yeah. I think he is a good just punt for game week 26. You wouldn't want, Lookman kind of does fill that Todd Cantwell role a little bit. And then, Lookman's only going to get your return every 6 weeks. But you do know, as I was saying, you can predict which Fulham attacking asset is most likely to get a return. It's probably going to be Lookman.
And Brandon, here is another way to look at a possible Lookman transfer, which is that Lookman plays in game week 29. So if I bring in Lookman, now the problem is that they play Liverpool and Man City in the following two matches. So I would be benching him the next two for sure. But then I would have another player they play Leeds at home. And for Leeds at home, he and Josh Maja are probably two of the best players you could have in game week 29. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. I would think, you expect that. Well, I don't know. I mean, let's pump the brakes a little bit on whether Fulham can score more than a goal in a match.
Maja didn't touch the ball against Sheffield United. So, I would definitely pump the brakes on him.
But Lookman is a very good player. He's I think he's the creative heart of that team. I have not been the kindest person when it comes to, what's the tall guy? Now both of us are forgetting everyone's
name. I know. We have holes in our brains. Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He's not it.
He has played a bit better. I will give him some credit for he tries. He does try.
Yeah, he's been pushed more central, which I think benefits him. It doesn't benefit him as an FPL asset, but I think it allowing Lookman to play off of him for him to sort of be the icebreaker at the front of the ship, and then others can benefit, is working.
So I will take to answer the original true or false question. I think it's false. I think that there are places you could look for cheap players, or maybe just players that you don't need to sell. I think that Burnley actually, in some ways, are way to Spurs, but Spurs are not a team I trust to score anymore, and so it wouldn't shock me if they kept a clean sheet that match. I think that if you had someone like Ben Mee, I don't think you'd need to drop him for a hit, certainly. If he was freeing up money for a different move, or I mean, there could be a reason.
Are you bringing him in though? Are you bringing a Burnley defender in?
No, you're not bringing him in, but I think that you don't have to just think of them as I'm only going to get 2 points out of him. Sure. I think they could get a clean sheet in either one of those two matches. And I think Palace, I probably would avoid, even though they have one of the better. They play Fulham and United at home, but they're just so on the beach right now that I don't know who you'd trust on that team. So we talked about Fulham, and then I guess Sheffield United. No, you have to just completely avoid them. Mm-hmm. Complete disaster. West Brom, probably nobody. Okay. I mean,
this is sounding like true. Fulham is the only place to look for cheap enablers. Yeah. Josh,
how about Pedro Neto? I mean, I don't know if Wolves are concerned. Wolves are a pretty good team, but they are the team that nobody is talking about in the double. If I had to pick between Lookman and Neto, I think that I should at least spare a thought for Pedro Neto.
Yeah, that's fine. So let's see. Neto currently costs 5.7. I don't think that's crazy. Yeah, yes, definitely. Lookman and Neto.
We found one. The
appeal then for Lookman is that he has the game week 29 fixture where Neto doesn't. How is Neto going to size up against Lookman in game week 26? That's a coin flip for sure.
I do think that the Newcastle away is probably better. Well, I don't know. Palace away. What's a better fixture, Brandon?
Have to beat Crystal Palace in this next fixture. Fulham are going to have they're going to have a rocket up though, what have you, for that match. They are going to need to score, and they will score.
Yeah, I mean, they are now level on points. No, they're not level, excuse me. They're only 3 points behind Newcastle, and I really was of the opinion that Newcastle were going to just find a way, like they always seem to, right? Yeah. Like they never impress, and they're always at 37 points by the time February is completed. And you're how is this happening? How is this team keep winning these matches? But I think with Callum Wilson out, they're really in trouble. And I do think that it opens the door for Fulham. I think the Brighton actually are probably more safe than the Newcastle. I think Newcastle.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree. And Fulham play Newcastle in the last day of the season. So it could be a cup final there, which is.
Yeah, that'll be kind of. And let's hope, Brandon, let's hope there's a Nurmal Day parade that takes place too. And you and I can meet up somewhere. Our beloved Black Horse, Brandon, the great, great Black Horse, is reopening. I believe it's March 2nd or something. I actually think it's the day that all of these Like the final day of game week 26, it opens again. I mean, I think it's going to be open like inside and outside, but it was closed for months. And I'm sure a lot of people out there have this experience with their local pub, right? Because like bars are the places that have been the most hit by COVID, obviously. And they closed down in October. And sometimes you just don't know, like, once you close, you're going to ever reopen again. And so the sign went up and they're reopening.
They're up on the 4th, and Black Horse is a Spurs bar. So it's they're opening for Fulham Spurs.
Is that that's what they're opening for? Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. So I got a little sidetracked there. Let's go back. Let's do a new true or false question, Brandon.
Fit me.
All right. True or false. This is a good game week to bench boost.
This is true, Josh. Absolutely true. As I was suspecting, most managers out there, you're probably starting off your game week 26 planning with somewhere between 8, 10, 11, maybe 12 double game weekers. You're already primed to set up a bench boost. Now the question is, if you play the bench boost, how many points do you burn to get yourself?
It's not brunch boost.
Brunch boost. Yeah. Sorry, this is speaking of like things that have been hit by coronavirus, brunch. We got brunch on my mind too. Not going out for brunch a lot. The bench boost favor could be played in game week 26 to great success. Yeah.
I think it's a favor that makes a lot of sense to play in this game week if you can pull it off. And I held mine for this game week, and I think what the only thing that's actually complicated it is I mentioned this before, but it's the play of Rafinha who is now so good that I don't know if it actually makes sense for me to drop Rafinha to bring in Adamola Lookman. Like, would you rather have Lookman in two or Rafinha in just one at home to Aston Villa?
It seems like a gambler's move there to go Rafinha to Lookman. I think probably the prudent, smart move is just to keep Rafinha. But then are you looking at Dallas, Bamford, and Rafinha, triple single game weekers on your bench for the bench boost trip? The bench boost favor?
Yeah, so I would be, which feels, and then I'd have Pope as my other keeper, right? Because I have Martinez as well. So I'd have... I guess I would, and then I would move Soufal to somebody. He's my other single game week player that I have right now. So right now I have of my 15 players, 11 of them have double game weeks. Mm-hmm. So I have four players. If I move one, then I'm at 12 players, and then I would have my three leads. Now that is in some ways less exciting, but as discussed, that would give me an extra player for game week 29. Yeah. Right. So I would not. That's like a transfer save basically. If I were to drop him, it would really be for a point set because I would be turning him into Lookman most likely. And then I would use that money to upgrade Soufal. And the move that I was considering was Soufal to Luke Shaw. So I would have Luke Shaw for that's like about what I could afford with that transfer.
The big buzz cut boy himself, Luke Shaw.
Yeah. So and I'm not even sure if that's really worth it. I mean, again, it would really be more for the Crystal Palace match. I don't know what my expectations would be for Chelsea. It's interesting. I mean, you're talking about cheap defenders. I'm not sure that I see, just Brendan, if you look at, this beautiful multicolored Ben Crowan chart here, do you see a great clean sheet opportunity from kind of any of these teams? Maybe Fulham? I mean, I don't know.
You're going to be bringing in single game weeker Lewis Dunk for that West Brom fixture, perhaps.
Yeah. And, I wish that I could afford Reguilón. Like, he might be somebody I would consider. Beyond him, I'm just not really, I'm not sure. I don't know who, because I mean, Spurs maybe do have the best defensive fixtures, right? I mean, but do I want a Spur player? I mean, I don't know. Like, not really.
No. Defense for me right now is just like, it is what it is. Now I'm talking about, making a defensive transfer, but it's just kind of, it's like, I can see it. I can touch it. It makes 100% sense, but I wouldn't overthink your defensive lineup out there at all. I just kind of like, as we're kind of alluding to, there's not much in it.
Yeah, I mean, you could maybe make a case for a Wolves defender. Say it's the start of the last couple. Again, it would just be with the Newcastle fixture, I guess. And then, but then you're probably getting, but then they play Man City away, right? Like,
followed by Villa, followed by Liverpool, followed by a blank.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess the move would be to find somebody that you could bring in who also plays in game week 29, right? So maybe, okay, so let's say I brought in, you're more of a Fulham expert than I am. If I were to bring in a Fulham defender for game week 26, who would be the Fulham defender that I would target?
I think Joachim Andersen, who has been, he's one of the center back pairings with Tosin. Okay. And he should have been credited with an assist on that Lookman goal. He has been doing the over the defensive line lob passes to chasing attackers. And when Fulham have kept clean sheets and the bonus aren't going to the attack, Andersen has been pretty good for them. So I think Andersen is your guy.
Not Aina.
Yeah. You'll talk about Aina because he did score that goal against Burnley. But it was a fluke goal that he barely knew anything about.
Yeah.
And
is he a fullback? I don't even know what he is.
He is a fullback. Yeah. Okay. Aina is a fullback. And then you've got the rotation with Jedi Andersen on the left and Kenny Tetti.
Okay.
And that just kind of depends on what kind of tactics they're going to throw at you. But
yeah.
Andersen and Tosin, both at 4.5, they are starting every single match. They're the John Stones and Ruben Dias of full.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Bringing a center back is just always less exciting. You know, so you want that fullback, cheap points.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Lucas Dean. You know, you got an assist in the Man City match. Yeah, Matt Loudon. You mean you bring in Matt Loudon for its goals, obviously. So, all right, that would be kind of funny if I didn't burn points and I literally just spent my one transfer bringing on a Fulham defender. Yeah. That would be the craziest way to approach a bench boost. But I mean, it is a great week for bench boost. I mean, the reason why I would consider like something like that is because several of my moves over the last few weeks, including my -4 last week, was with the double game week in mind. And I, you know, if the problem is just that Rafinha is so good that I can't drop him, that's not really a problem. That's actually fine. And, and again, it just means it's one fewer transfer that I have to spend in game week 29. And so you do have to think about these things, right? Because, you know, if he's almost good enough, I mean, so I don't mean to like go on about this, but I'm sure people are debating similar moves, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say that he gets anything out of that Aston Villa match, right? Let's say he gets a goal, no bonus points, and they concede a goal. So he's on 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
Then that means I need Lookman to get 11 points across those two matches just to break even.
Seems right? ambitious.
It does seem ambitious, right? And so when you think about it that way, you're like, well, it's just the appeal of the double, you mm-hmm. know, but I think in some ways, you know, yeah, it looks crazy to have three Leeds players on my bench for the double game week.
Yeah.
But I would start all three of those in a normal circumstance, right?
Yeah.
I would be benching good players to play those players in a normal circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a great fixture for them. I mean, especially given what's happening right now with Aston Villa. It's the perfect time to play them, really.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to throw a true or false at you, Josh. Okay. Let's mix things up here. True or false? You should take as many hits as you need to get the perfect game week 26 team. So we're already kind of having this conversation with regards to the upside of bringing in Lookman in place of a single game weeker. So
yeah.
What's your stance on hits for 26?
All right. So my feeling about hits traditionally is that I don't like to take like monster hits, -8s, mm-hmm. -12s. I just don't think they
you're a wimp.
They tend to pan out.
You're
well,
a weenie.
Born from experience. Okay. Uh-huh. Born from experience. And hits and big hits not working out for me in the past many, many times over. But game week 19 happened. And that was a week where everyone was taking -20s. Like it was the craziest thing where it was like everyone suddenly was like, you can't even get into this week without taking a -16. Like, I don't know what you're doing if you're not.
Listen, and then, I'm looking at my my history. I took a -4 in game week 19.
I took a -4 as well, but I felt like it was very popular to take massive, massive hits. Okay. And then I felt like everyone who took like a -8 or -12 got like 137 points that week. It was like everyone brought in John Stones and Diaz and they all, you know. So I suppose you could make an argument. In some ways, that was kind of a fluky thing because Man City had missed matches and then they weren't quite in good form and nobody really had them. Yeah. And so,
yeah,
you know, in hindsight, that really was a smart move. I'm not sure that we're in that same position now, though.
Well, it's a different proposition when you're talking about burning four for a Manchester City player who you intend to keep, who can just pay out over the course of months.
Right.
And Lookman, while, you know, I realized I was just making the case for Fulham being good for enablers. You kind of know what you're going to get from them. How long are you going to keep and how often are you going to start a player like Lookman? And I think that puts even more pressure on converting that minus four to points immediately, which is really hard to do.
Yeah. You know, it's funny thinking about him playing in 29 and it's a weird thing because like we're going to have a bunch of players, right, for this 29 fixture. Yeah. And who do you want? It's like, I don't want any of these people, right? It's like, I guess I'll bring in Kane and Son, right? Like everybody else. It'll be very boring and that's what I'll do. But just in general, like, I mean, okay, yeah, maybe three Aston Villa players, three Leeds. I don't think I'm going to want more than like nine players for this game because you're going to get in a position where you're like, okay, I'm dropping a Man City defender and, you know, and Mo Salah just so I can get points this one. Yeah. You know, it's not going to be worth it.
My tentative plan is to do that thing where I dead end my team into 29 and then I can wild card all that stuff out. However, you're making a good point. We have players in our squads who we've built up all this value in. So at what cost am I dead-ending my team? Am I going to – the players that I like and that I want, am I going to be able to get them back? So that's the tough one.
I think I'm likely only going to have nine players or something like that in Game 29. Like maybe – you know, okay, if you did three Leeds, three Villa, two Spurs – and one Fulham, right? Yeah. Then that would get you to nine. That's probably as many as you'd want.
That sounds right. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is basically going to be spinning in and out of everyone's team on a weekly basis.
That's true.
Until after 29. Yeah.
Oh, maybe Antonio. I forgot about West Ham playing that match too. Maybe he could be a fun. Maybe your boy, Brandon. You finally bring back a... Geez, I am like, I cannot think of anyone's name in this pod.
Give me a hint.
If I say your boy, I should really remember who I've done. Aubameyang. Jeepers, creepers. So.
Aubameyang. Yeah. Oh, my God. We haven't uttered a single, like, nobody even is noting that Arsenal play in game week 29.
Nothing says dead end like bringing in Aubameyang at this point.
Yeah.
All right, final true or false question, Brandon. Final one. There are a lot of great template busting picks this game week.
Template busting, not template bust team.
Template busting, thank you to FPL tips for the template busting phraseology there, Brandon.
I mean, I suppose there are, just given how the theme of game week 26 seems to be it's a huge pivotal moment for the season, and with all of these doubles happening, there are lots of ins, lots of outs. Josh, could I tell you who those template busting players are? The options are too many, or maybe I just don't see them. Is probably the more true thing there. But all right, I think the cool thing, positive perspective is that this is a game week for the Mavericks. Because there are so many doubles happening. There are so many routes to different teams. There are so many ways that you can gain an advantage this week by getting creative and maybe burning a few more points, as you're talking about. So who are those template busting players? Sadio Mane, Josh, could I interest you in just going crazy with Sadio Mane? Nobody else is going to have him.
No form. What about Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. Yeah,
I think that he's not incredibly expensive. You could probably get from Grealish to him without you know too much trouble. I think that he is had some moments of poor finishing this season, which has made him look like he is not quite a top class. It's made him like a B+ fantasy asset, but I think that he is kind of like what he's still like, if you're talking about like, you know, he's only 11.8% owned, which is probably a little inflated because there's so many Man United fans out there. You know, 9 goals and 8 assists in the season, goal and assist, a couple of bonus points today. I think that he is at least, you know, again, I'm not planning to bring him in, but I think that he is an option who's sort of, he's not going to be in a lot of squads. I think Timo Werner, who we talked about earlier, is another player to consider. Again, just a player who really could go off. It seems like he's kind of, he's been like, you know, perched at the like, you know, I don't know. He's been like ready to blow for a while now. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, he's goal, 2 assists, a goal in his last 2 matches. That Southampton game was just kind of a weird one. I don't really, you know, I felt like they were pretty dominant in that one. And, weirdly, it was Mason Mount who was like, it was Mason Mount's game. Like he was so good in that match.
Everyone said Mason Mount was Lampard's boy, but he's just everyone's boy. He continues to look great even under Tuchel. I think he is a good player. He looks almost as good, Josh, as Bertrand Traoré on Aston Villa.
Traoré. He's like it's his time. Apparently, he's like he's everywhere now. Without Grealish, he's like he actually is a little underrated, isn't he? He's a
wee bit.
5.9 million scored today. Kind of a fun player. He's on free kicks, as we know. I think he's on corners too, isn't he? Or I think he's at least taken them at times.
He's in and around, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not a huge Traoré student.
If
James Maddison is past fit, like we get that news, he's okay. So we talked a lot about Harvey Barnes. We didn't talk as much about James Maddison. So if you look at the ownership stats between Barnes and Maddison, Barnes is actually the bigger differential at 10% ownership across the game, whereas Maddison is up around 16. But I think both of them still are picks that will, that if they do anything, your rank is going to improve, because I think that they're still kind of scattered. The ownership is really scattered amongst probably the top 100K.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think a lot of people are going to have bigger moves that they're planning to make for game week 26. And so I don't think it's going to be a situation like Gundogan was last game week, where he was, his ownership was creeping up and then it just exploded, right? He was like one of the few players you absolutely had to have for last week's double game week. And so I think that, I guess there's an update already on my computer. I don't know if you heard that. I think that his ownership is only going to shoot up to maybe 10, 15, 20, 25%. It's not going to be massive.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good shout. Defensively, I think we just talked about this a little bit with some of the players that were kicking around. I don't see a lot of like huge, like, you know, like Burnley last week was an opportunity to really go for it, right? You know, maybe you just triple up on Burnley and hope they get multiple clean sheets. I don't see anybody where I'm like really seeing multiple clean sheets. I can see one in several of these, but doubles I'm not seeing.
Yeah. So I think we settled in the right place. I think as much as we've talked about Leicester, Harvey Barnes, and then Marcus Rashford, I think those are the two standout differentials. And while they are players that are talked about, I do think they still stand out as template busting at this point in the season.
All right, Brandon, that is your podcast. This is a really fun game week. I love that there's going to be a nice spread of captain picks, that I don't think everyone's team is going to look the same. I think you're going to see triple captains and bench boosts, and it's going to go on for days and days and days, which sometimes I say that with trepidation, but this time I'm actually pretty excited because I think there's a lot of really interesting things happening. I will say that I am currently leaning towards Bruno captain, and I would at least consider a Man City captain, but we actually haven't, funnily enough, we haven't really talked about them very much in this week's pod, mostly because in my view, I just need to see what happens in their Champions League match before I really strongly consider them for the captaincy.
I am considering Dominic Calvert-Lewin as a captain. Definitely. And if you got that Southampton, West Brom double fixture, I think that's really good. I think he won't be as popular as the big name brands you get from these top four teams. So DCL, watch out. But we have a lot of thinking to do. We still have many game week 25 fixtures yet to go.
That's true. Yeah, we'll see where we are after. Yeah, well, yeah. Once Rafinha gets injured, this whole thing is going to seem very
it's
silly.
It's all bust.
So that's the pod. Thank you for listening. And yeah, you know, you and I will be back after Thursday's Europa League matches. So once all the European matches are concluded, to do our final preview for Game Week 26. So if you are interested in talking about the matches throughout the week, you can join us on the Slack and chat with us there. If you want a bonus podcast this week where we talk through our kind of final thoughts on the game week, then become a Patreon supporter and you can listen to that bonus pod. It's available for anyone at the Lord Soroth tier and up. And hail Lord Soroth, by the way, Brandon. We have heard, we know somebody. We did a Zoom chat with some of our Patreon supporters on Saturday, and yeah. One of them actually knows Alexander Soroth. So we're, you know, maybe we'll get him on the pod someday. That'd be the dream.
Yeah. Special shout out to our friend Shiv, who set up that Zoom call, which was a lot of fun. And as always, every week, let's say thank you to our special producer patrons. Big thanks to Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Pan Martin, Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bob Ascoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Bluno Stu, Mikey Uwong, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadakis, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Bobby Styles, and Future Media Group, FPL.
Wow.
Remember, rate, review, subscribe to LA's Cheating Podcast, wherever it is, find podcasts are found. Follow us on social media. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Visit our website for all this information and more, and that website is alwayscheating.com.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'm excited, Brandon. Talk to you more later this week. Bye.
Boku forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.